Welcome to the Let's Go GHO podcast. This is Dr. Trish Burgess, Director of GHO, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Mike Langford. Mike did his undergraduate studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, and went on to medical school at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School. He also then went on to complete a residency in orthopedic surgery. He is a member of the American Board of Orthopedic Surgeons. In 2018, Dr. Langford was presented with the Patient's Choice, On-Time Doctor, and Compassionate Doctor Recognition Awards. I hope you enjoy the discussion today with Dr. Mike Langford. Okay, Mike, will you tell us about how you initially got involved with GHO missions?
I've been looking for an orthopedic mission opportunity for quite some time. The Lord had laid it on my heart, even in medical school, to do medical missions or do some sort of medical missions. And of course, was setting up a practice and raising family, just got busy. And back in early 2011, I received in the mail a Christian Doctor's Digest from CMDA. Honestly, I wasn't always faithful in listening to those, but for some reason, I put that one in my truck CD player. And on that CD, David Stevens was interviewing Barry Sorrells, who is an orthopedic surgeon who had been going to Honduras doing total joints. And they had just joined with GHO in wanting to start an orthopedic mission to Honduras. So I got interested there really wasn't much in the way of that I could find a faith-based orthopedic mission trip. And I called Dr. Sorrells and went on my first trip, which was actually the first GHO orthopedic trip to Honduras in 2011. And I have been going ever since.
So this connection with the national partner in Honduras, and in particular the hospital, so Dr. Sorrells originally kind of started that, or how did you establish that so well?
So yes, he had established some relations with the hospitals and with several of the Honduran orthopedic surgeons. And once I started going and started to lead the trip, developed other relations with several other of the Honduran orthopedic surgeons. Our team has established a really strong bond with the Honduran orthopedic community in Tegucigalpa at several of the hospitals. We also have a facilitator, Francisco Alvarado, who is in and out of the hospitals all the time and really helps us facilitate our trips, and it's kind of our bridge between the medical community and us.
Which is essential, you know, for a short-term mission to have a national partner, someone who's there all the time that can help us get into hospitals or healthcare, as well as with cultural differences and all those things. Orthopedic surgery trips are particularly complicated. And one of those things is all the equipment you require. And you shared with us at Team Leader Training the amount of large chests and cases of equipment you guys bring in, that you bring in all the joints that you're going to be using, and you've established relationships with people to help you get those. Can you kind of go through how you came about those connections and figuring out how to get all these expensive joints and equipment that you need to bring them into the country?
Let me first say that it was really crucial or essential to have those relations with the Honduran orthopedic surgeons, because we're going into their territory. You know, we're working in their hospitals, using their OR rooms. And it's really neat how they welcome us and really give so much for us to be able to come. They actually barter and trade their OR time with other services so that we have a block of time to work when we're there in Honduras. As far as the equipment, you're right. Orthopedists are very needy. And we can't just take all of our stuff in a black bag and hit the mission field. So what we do is with our equipment, the team has to arrange for donations of equipment and implants for us to use. All the implants, and we do total joints, total knees, total hips, spine surgery, hand surgery, all of that equipment and implants are donated. And they are donated by companies here in the United States for us to use. Because of governmental regulations, we have to go through the companies themselves to get this. We can't just go to our local rep and grab a few implants or, you know, off the shelf and take with us. We have to actually get it from the manufacturer. There is a process we go through as far as the application and forms to fill out, and there's certain requirements that they request that we have to perform. But it's just really amazing and just really neat how God has provided through these companies the implants. These companies donate hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of implants every trip. And so we go through the companies. We pretty much have a list of things that we request. And majority of the time, we're able to get what we request. And we have to take all that with us to Honduras. And so how we manage that is sometimes some of the equipment, some of the things we're able to send on a container on a cargo ship down to Honduras. And our facility, Francisco, has friends in customs and down there, so able to get that and get that for us. But as far as the actual implants, we don't like those to leave our site. And so we actually take those with us. What we do is the team members bring all of their personal things in their carry-on. And so each team member has is allowed two check bags. And so our check bags are actually trunks full of medical supplies. And so we pack all those, the donated implants and supplies. A lot of our supplies come from hospitals that will donate the supplies. And we bring that with us. Now, we are fortunate in that we do have a warehouse in Honduras where we keep our surgical instruments and our power equipment and any unused supplies. So we're not having to bring that back and forth each trip.
That's great. But also, I think I remember you talking about the representatives of these companies. Haven't they occasionally gone with you and your team to actually see, you know, what's being done down there?
Yes. And that's another really a special part of this is that we have had multiple reps of the companies that have come with us, and we love to have the representatives come with us. One, it's just a great experience for them in that just being on the mission field, but it really helps us as far as managing the implants and our stock as the week goes by and what we have and what we don't have. Because we don't have an unlimited supply of things when we're there. And so we're constantly having to match implants with patients and deciding, do we have the right size to be able to do the surgery? And having a representative there with us really helps us a lot. And several of the reps have become just so, they love the trip and they actually go with us every year. It really is a special time for them and has meant a lot to them.
I can imagine how, you know, if you're in that sort of role, getting to actually see them in use and seeing patients recovering and what a difference you've made would be such a blessing. So I know you said you do total hips, total knees. What other kinds of surgeries does your team do?
We initially started after Dr. Searles implemented the total joint service, the total knees, total hips, but as time has gone by, we've actually expanded to different orthopedic specialties. We have we do orthopedic hand surgery, orthopedic spine surgery, and orthopedic sports, do ACL reconstruction, some arthroscopies. And that's just a really neat how God has allowed that to occur and how those specialties have been able to work in Honduras.
So do these orthopedic surgeons, do they go in and work in the surgery with you? And I assume they're the ones that are going to be doing the follow-up for you?
Right. That's one of the things I really like about the way this is set up, is that we go to the same hospitals, the same place every trip. And so we're able to follow up with the patients, our patients that we operated on, when we go back in 6 months, we're able to see them. And that's always a really neat time for us as surgeons, and also for nurses and scrub techs that work with us in the clinic, just to see the patients that we worked on 6 months before.
I think that would be a great blessing.
But yes, Honduras orthopedic surgeons work with us in the OR. Also, one of the things that we're able to do is work with the Honduran orthopedic residents at Escuela, which is the main teaching hospital in Honduras, or one of the main teaching hospitals. And so that's a ministry in itself. I think it's just really neat that they're able to work with us, and that to see how we deal with patients and how we deal with issues that arise in the OR. And that, I believe, is a strong witness to them. But the residents and the orthopedic surgeons, Honduran orthopedic surgeons, they continue to see the patients after we leave. So if there's an issue, they can address it. And even we've had them call us, and we can review x-rays if there's a problem.
Oh, that's really helpful too. Do you guys bring physical therapy with you, or are they just referred through the orthopedic physicians in Honduras?
We have had physical therapists that have come with us, and we welcome physical therapists. It's nice to have our own therapists that can go around and see the patients post-op and initiate a program, especially like a home program with the patients. But each hospital has their own physical therapy department. And so the patients through the Honduran orthopedic department will receive a physical therapy even after, you know, after we've left.
That's wonderful. Yeah, even on our general medical teams, we really try to encourage physical therapy because they have such a great way to give a long-term impact to a short-term mission. You know, our bag of ibuprofen or naproxen or whatever is going to run out, but if they can learn some strengthening and stretching exercises, long-term it'll be much better for them. One other aspect of your team that I think is wonderful is that you bring in a really large team, yet many of them are not serving in the OR. So can you kind of explain to us what some of the other areas your team does and what they're doing while you guys are in the OR?
So typically the spring team or early summer team is our largest team. We have had up to almost 40, maybe 42 on the team. I really enjoy that team because of the time of year. We have college students who are pre-med that come. We have medical students that come. We also have residents that have come with us. Especially the pre-meds and the medical students, that's a large portion of the team. And everybody wants to be in the OR. But because of the size of the team, we can't have everybody in the OR. It just wouldn't be safe. Of course, we also have non-medical team members that really don't care to be in the OR, and we welcome them as we have. There's plenty of things for them to do. But in order to facilitate having such a large team and not everybody being able to be in the OR, we have several other facets of the trip that we rotate everybody on. One is what we call the prayer team. My wife, Christine, leads that. And that is a ministry at the hospital where they go and minister to patients, our patients or other patients there in the hospital, and really minister to the patients' families, especially the parents of children at the hospital. Frequently, those parents will be sleeping on the floor underneath the child's crib, and the team will provide sandwiches or meals to them. Also, a strong ministry is the OB ward, and so many new moms there don't have anything for their new infant. And so they'll hand out new baby packs, which have diapers and onesies and washcloths. And so it's just a ministry going around and praying with the patients and their families and trying to provide some of the basic needs that they may have. And so that's one rotation. The other one is what we call the mountain team. We have a mountain community that we work with, and a lot of us actually have sponsored kids there in the mountain community. We'll go up and do some construction projects. We've built homes, put concrete floors in homes with just dirt floors, painting, working to upgrade schools, pass out food baskets to needy families. And how we do that is we work with the community leaders there in the mountain community, and they pick families that are needing of assistance. And so the one that comes on the trip not only will get to be in the OR and see some orthopedics up close, but also we'll get to serve patients' families in the hospital, and also serve those on the mountain with some construction projects. So it's just they get a wide exposure of different things on the mission field with the trip.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're careful to work with the community leaders, because that brings some legitimacy to the mission team as well as to them there trying to help their community. So it really is a really pretty picture of the body of Christ, you know, trying to serve everywhere they can. And I think so many people think of medical mission teams, they can't go because they're not a doctor, when there's so many other things you can do on our teams. Could you share with us a story or two or a particular patient encounter that was meaningful for you and or encourages you to keep going year after year?
A couple that come to mind. One is a young lady who'd had a hip replacement by the orthopedic surgical team. This was done before I started. And the prosthesis became loose and was causing her pain and needed to be revised. To do a hip revision requires quite a bit of equipment that we typically don't bring with us or hadn't been bringing with us. And it's a little more difficult in getting that equipment and implants donated. And so I would see her every time we'd go down and have to tell her that we just weren't able to get the equipment that was needed to do her revision. Of course, she would cry and I'd cry, but she always was grateful that we were there and just had hope. Good Lord provided, and we were eventually able to get the necessary equipment and implants to be able to do her revision. We had a total joint specialist, Dr. Gordon Newburn, who was on the trip and able to do her a revision, which went extremely well. And the last time I was in Honduras, I was actually able to dance with her. And
oh,
she was
wow.
so happy and just so appreciative. And it was just neat that and just really special to see her come walking in the clinic smiling and without pain.
And how faithful she stayed, you know, time after time when you couldn't do it, you know, to still be thankful for you and keep coming back. That's precious.
Oh, yes. And that's what's one of the I love the Honduran people is that they are so sweet and so appreciative. Even when we're not able to do their surgery because we don't have the right implant or, you know, we run out of time, they are just grateful that we're there. And there's some tears that are shed, but mm-hmm. when we come back in 6 months, they're there waiting for us and smiling and ready to go. So it's just really special.
So what would you say if you were talking to someone, you know, who hadn't been before, what would you say God has taught you through serving on short-term medical missions?
I guess one of the things that really stands out is how God's still in the miracle business. You know, I could go through multiple examples of how things happened that just shouldn't have happened or didn't make, you know, just wasn't logical. And you just knew it was not a coincidence that happened. You know, several examples. Every team member, as we talked about, brings medical supplies in their trunks. Of course, we have team members coming from all over the United States, coming from multiple connecting airports. It's just a miracle every trip that all those trunks wind up in Tegucigalpa when we get there.
Yeah, equipment getting there and supplies is always somewhat of a miracle.
One trip we had, because of some issues, we had at the last minute, actually the morning, I got a call. I was in the van going to the airport, driving down to Houston. I got a call from a team member saying they were going to have to cancel. And they had trunks that they were supposed to bring. And they had some essential things that we needed to be able to do what we were supposed to do that week. And just by chance, as I looked through my frantically looking through my list, everybody was maxed out on trunks, except for one person, one team member that hadn't assigned any trunks, who was actually going to be flying out of that connecting airport that team member was going to be flying out of. And so at the last minute, we were able to transfer those two trunks to her, and she was able to bring them. Now, you know, some people would call that coincidence. I wouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell team members, especially new team members, when I'm interviewing them and talking about before the trip, is that being pulled out of your comfort zone and then being pulled out of your little world where you think you're in control, which we know we're not, but we think we are,
mm-hmm.
but being thrust in that situation where you're not in control, you are just, your eyes are open to seeing God move and God work. And we call those God sightings.
Yes.
And, but it's just, again, just a really special part of the trip.
Yes, I have a saying, the easiest place to find God is outside your comfort zone.
That's
you know, we get used to our little comfort zone, but it's hard to see the miracle when you don't step outside that. So that is a good lesson for all of us to learn. And I have been surprised how many times on a mission team, as simple as something like a mother with an infant needing a baby bottle and someone on the team happened to bring one. One of our Kenya teams, a woman was coming to clinic and delivered right there on the ground outside. She didn't make it in time. And someone on the team happened to bring two baby blankets, you know, so we could had a blanket for that baby. But it was just like, I mean, it wasn't a pediatric specialist mission. It just someone happened to bring two baby blankets. And, you know, that's just God, you know, the Holy Spirit talking to them when they're packing to throw in a baby blanket. And that we had a delivery right there on the ground. So it's like, you know, miracle after miracle, even, you know, just as little as, you know, needing the right medicine or a baby bottle or whatever it is.
Right.
So it's always nice, though, to be reminded of that. So, Mike, I really appreciate you talking to us about, because your orthopedic surgery teams are so different from a lot of our other teams, I wanted to get some input from you on your orthopedic missions and people who may be interested in that. So thanks for joining us.
You bet. It's been my pleasure. And thank you for all that y'all do, you and Ron, there at headquarters and helping making this happen.
I hope you have enjoyed hearing from Dr. Mike Langford and how he serves through GHO in orthopedic surgery. GHO does have general surgery and several orthopedic surgery missions that are available. If you want to find out more about our missions, you can go to cmda.org/GHO, and there will be a trip calendar that you will be able to access to learn more about our missions. Currently, we are going in January for our first relaunch post-COVID to Nicaragua, and we have several missions available starting in March, April, and May with a fuller schedule later in the summer and into the fall. So I hope to see you soon on the mission field, where you'll be hearing us say, "Let's go, GHO!"
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.